Welcome to Cash Radio. Your host today is Ann Muller, editor of the Cash Courier and director of Cash, Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting. Our interview today is with Joe Mealy. Joe writes the Ask Uncle Joe column for the Committee to Abolish Sport Hunting, and he's author of The Fur Trade Today, which exposes the inside workings of the fur industry. Joe, you're an expert in the area of trapping. Would you please give us a status report of trapping? Is it increasing, decreasing, or staying the same?
Well, and much like the state of sport hunting in the United States, the condition of sport trapping or fur trapping is not faring very well either. The internet generation, video games, things of that nature have caused young people to no longer be interested in killing animals for pleasure. Whereas 100 years or so ago, people in rural areas had very little to do, and they would take their time up by going out and hunting and trapping and doing things of that nature. Today, it's not happening. There are many more options for young people, and as we know, if young people don't get involved in something, they don't participate as adults. Right. Some local counties in states such as Montana may see some increases in the number of trappers, but overall, the big picture of the story is that the number of trappers in the United States is on a decline.
Great. Now, the National Trappers Association claims that trapping is a highly regulated sport and that individual states strictly regulate the number of animals that are legally permitted to be trapped. And you claim that this isn't true. Can you explain that?
Yes, Anne. The National Trapper Association tells a lot of mistruth, and they exaggerate some other claims, and this happens to be one of their most egregious lies. Fish and game agencies in states like Minnesota and New Mexico don't set season limits or kill quotas or anything of that nature for unprotected animals such as skunks, coyotes, or others. Mm-hmm. In fact, the state of New Mexico goes one step farther. They have no bag limits, quotas, for fur-bearing animals at all, and no limit on the number of traps that each trapper is allowed to use. In their own published literature, the National Trapper Association says that, and I quote, "In every state and province in the United States and Canada which have fur-bearer trapping programs, seasons, harvest limits, and trapping methodology are strictly regulated by state or provincial management authorities." This is not true. Mm-hmm. Either the National Trapper Association doesn't know about the state of New Mexico, or they're very comfortable with telling blatant lies to the public.
Unbelievable. Now, often we're told that trapping animals is an efficient way to contain the outbreak of diseases such as rabies and mange. How would you reply to that?
Well, I've written an article that was published in the April 24, 2003 edition of the Cash Courier that explained the fallacy of trapping for disease control. Basically, it goes this way. Trappers will go after healthy animals because they have the best quality fur. And the reason why trappers are out in the fields to begin with is so they can trap animals, skin them, and sell their skins for profit. These trappers catch so many of these animals because they know the habits and the movements of healthy animals, and they know how they behave. That's how they cut these animals off at the pass and set traps that lure them in. Diseased animals don't behave normally, and they require different trapping techniques. And since trappers are looking for fur quality primarily, they're not interested in catching diseased animals and animals with mange who have absolutely no market, no value on the fur market.
Absolutely. Now, beavers are known to flood roads in low-lying areas. What can be done to solve that problem?
There are many things that can be done to safely and humanely solve flooding problems that are associated with beaver activity. Mm-hmm. As we all know, beavers will build dams in moving water. They have an instinct that when they hear the sound of moving water, they like to build a dam there. That's what they do. They're incredible engineers. There are products on the market called beaver bafflers and beaver deceivers that are able to humanely solve these problems. wire cages around drainage pipes will prevent beavers from clogging them and allow water to flow through. I know there are ways to push PVC pipes through dams in certain areas where they're not, where the beavers don't go through them, and this permits water to flow through the dam, keeping the pond levels at a certain level while preventing local land from being flooded. Even in a worst-case scenario, there's always relocation. They can be relocated to rural areas where they're not going to impact people.
That's terrific. Now, is animal damage control trapping as bad as sport trapping? And what do I do if, for example, there's a raccoon in my attic?
Well, animal damage control trapping is a necessary service. There are always going to be encounters where with wildlife where, you know, you don't want a raccoon in your attic. You don't want a family of opossums living under your porch. They could, you know, conceivably, you know, upset people. We understand this.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to watch out for is that many animal damage control trappers do kill animals when they trap them. And in some cases, in very gruesome ways, I recently read in a trapping magazine where an animal damage control trapper explained how he kills animals by injecting acetone or battery acid to their bodies.
Hmm. And most people don't know that.
Yeah, this is not something we want done, obviously.
No.
If animals have made a home in your attic or elsewhere, humane box traps can be used to safely remove them. When you're doing this, make sure there are no babies there before you start removing animals.
Mm-hmm.
Educate yourself, read up on the habits of these animals so you know what you're in for and you know how to catch them efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're certain that you have removed all the animals from where you're trying to remove them from, make sure you repair those holes where they're getting in, because if you don't, they're going to come right back.
Right, exactly.
And make sure they're relocated to safe areas so they don't become problems for other people who may not be as friendly toward them as you are.
No, good point.
And if you do feel that you must call a trapper, have the trapper assure you in writing that the animals will be released safely, unharmed.
Right. Very good point, Joe. Thank you. How do trappers make themselves look good in the eyes of the public? And how can people who care about wildlife counter their claims?
Yeah, it's quite a task to have trappers look good in the eyes of the public. I can't think of anything more gruesome than trapping harmless little furry animals.
Mm-hmm.
But they try. They try, they do their best, and there are some things that they're doing to try to, you know, sell to the public to make them look like they're great stewards of wildlife.
How can we educate ourselves more? Should we take a look at the online newsletter that you put out?
How
would we do that?
The Animal Protection Institute publishes my Fur Trade Today newsletter on their website.
Great.
Their website is bancrueltraps.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go there and look for the link for Fur Trade Today and read up all about the latest happenings in the fur trade. And you can also go onto the Cache website and read about what fur trappers are doing to the animals and how, you know, they're not protectors of the environment as much as they are destroyers of the animals.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, I appreciate your help today and your being on Cache Radio. You're our first guest, and we'll always remember that, as well as the message that you're telling us. So
well, thank you
and have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.